High-quality turmeric improves focus and mood, helps increase energy, helps age-related memory decline, and much, much more. Science Natural is offering my listeners 3 free bottles with the purchase of 1 bottle. See link below for this great offer. Also, did you know that wild lettuce is similar to morphine and is the best natural painkiller known? But it does not contain any addictive opiates. Learn this and many other remedies in the lost ways. Methods of our ancestors. See the link below.
The majority of us have to use our hearts and our minds for both the children that we need to protect and also the victims of this abusive system. This is an entire system that has been laid over us. That's why we're seeing all the irrational behavior, the illiberal liberals. This is what they have wrought. And they have seeded this crap in people's heads because they are easily controlled for the fact that they have been abused. And they see themselves as a victim. They see themselves fighting against these forces that are triggering them. Trump is a molester. He's a human trafficker. He's a sexist. He's a misogynist. And even if all of that is true, how can one person cause you to think so illogically that you're wanting to go out and beat the crap out of somebody or punch somebody in the face? I mean, that's what we're dealing with. That is a certain segment of the population. Thankfully, it's not the majority, but they're going to be extremely vocal. And a lot of us are going to need to take that extra step and hold back from whatever victory that we think we need to push on them and look back and say, you know what, these are the people that we do really care about. All Americans are human family, and these are all children victims of abuse. And we need to start looking at our own families and our own lives and what we can do, each of us can do in our own lives today, as opposed to waiting for someone else to enact justice, because that moment may never come.
Well, one person can't do everything. Trump's not going to be able to do everything. I have seen a lot of proof that he's doing a lot of good things, and that what they say about him, I don't like the whole Israel thing. I don't like his allegiance to Israel. Yeah. I don't like some of the things I'm seeing geopolitically. But what I'm seeing as far as him helping support this cause of the child abuse is huge. Yeah. He's doing a lot of stuff here. So he can't be what they're saying about him if the actions are what I'm seeing. I look at actions. I'm tired of all this because I know we have a whole big propaganda thing going on. So you have to look at actions.
Yeah, you have to look at actions and results. That's
you absolutely have to look at actions and results.
Yeah. No, I think.
Well, okay, so let's talk about this ritual child abuse, because that is what you had in the film, right? You showed that. That was the first scene that you showed. It was pretty scary. It was awful. And I'd like to play that for people, if you would allow me to have that, a clip of that first scene.
Yeah.
No. Don't do that.
Because it shows, you know, the reality of of what these of this what these children, the horror that these children are put through. You do it without showing it, really. I mean, you know, it's a doing it without showing the violence of it.
Right.
So it's all in our mind, which sometimes can be worse. But that being said, that is what my understanding is very rampant. It's everywhere. Now, in Hollywood, I mean, what is your knowledge about how active that is? Because it's different about pimping out your kids so somebody can have some sexual fantasy, which is still awful.
Right.
Than this whole ritual sexual abuse, killing them for organs and all this other sick fantasies they have, drinking their blood and things.
So I've been in touch with a couple of people who were raped by some very high up people in the industry.
Names that we would be shocked by, and it's hard to believe. And you are afraid to say the names, just like me, even though I heard this stuff too, because we're afraid that people aren't going to believe it. But go ahead.
Actually, I would say for me being right here in town, this individual told me straight up that it would take nothing but $20,000 to put a hit on you. So that's why I'm not saying it. She knows everything, this individual, and there's another man too. They're extremely credible. I mean, I've talked to them. They've told me details that you can't make up stories. And she and him both said that, John, you know, one of the things that you have to understand is that ruthless people will do whatever it takes to get what they want. And they're willing to go as far as it takes, whatever it takes.
And the people who are the highest in Hollywood probably did some things to get what they wanted.
Well, I mean, if you look at Harvey Weinstein, he had, came out a few weeks after, that he had an ex-Mossad security detail that was here in the country for years. I mean, the government was aware of that. The media was aware of it, especially the people that spoke out or were going to speak out and run any kind of story were aware of it because they got visited. Or there were signals given to them to let them know that what they were about to do would potentially jeopardize their lives and the lives of their family. These people do not. This is not me standing up and shouting at them and getting a camera on me and saying, you did all these wrong. They are like in their own kingdom, their own godly kingdom that they imagine themselves to be in and have created for themselves with their mansions and their shelters and their jets and everything else. This has nothing to do with wealth, by the way. But for me, when I learned about the satanic side of Hollywood, there is two groups. There's the pedophiles, and then there's these other pedophiles that are into Satanism. And this is what Ronald Bernard talks about and many others, Sasha, and that you've had on your show. These people sacrifice kids. They drink their blood. They do so because this is what they believe in, what gives them power. They channel a dark force and believe in that dark force to such a level and degree that it's not even like it's not like there is no God. That is their God.
It's like it's just like people worship God or Christian would worship Jesus. They're worshiping this dark force.
Yeah,
same thing.
And it gives them and they whatever it's tapping into in their body. In the chemistry and the chemicals flowing. Obviously, there's you know, when we show in the movie, the ritual sacrifice always ends in blood and the drinking of blood or the harvesting of blood that has a high kick of adrenaline in it in the child because they typically terrify the child to such a level and degree that the adrenaline starts flowing at such a high rate. And there have been a couple of papers on this about the study that the effect that type of blood has with that high level of adrenaline gives them a drug-like feeling, like an LSD. So it gives them a high.
So your villain in the movie is actually pretty good. He's pretty creepy. He does a good job. He probably doesn't like them. Well, he probably likes him. He's trying to be this creepy dude. And he does a good job at it. So tell your, what's his name?
Joseph Lopez.
So tell Joseph Lopez he does a good job being a total creep, the older guy, right?
Yeah.
he's probably a great guy being in a movie like this.
He's a great guy, and he's a great actor, and he dove into it with the director, with Edgar, you know, not like on the nose wicked evil, but a guy who's...
That's what makes him creepier.
Yeah.
Because he actually acts like he's caring about the other guy while he's being the biggest creep. I mean, he's just a creep.
Yeah. No, it made people's skin crawl. I mean, when we were doing the premiere 2 months ago here, we had a nice full house, 400 people, and people were just like, afterwards, they were afraid to come up to him, you know. But I said, Joe, that's one of the best compliments ever, is that they really believed you. They really believed, you know, what you were doing had authenticity to it and a reality to it. I'm really proud of, like, the casting and the whole cast. I want to say this. This movie would not have been possible without two things. Number one was all the YouTubers and the researchers and the people that refused to shut up, both now and over the years, and they've risked their life. We would never have known about any of this to the level and the degree that we did without them. Number two, we wouldn't have been able to make this movie without the cast and crew that we assembled. And it's not the best part about my job, there's two moments that are the greatest moments on a film experience, each film, is watching what vision that the director has created that you have fleshed out with these people and these locations and everything else coming together and working on it. And then the night that it opens up on a big screen and you got a full house and feeling the emotions and the waves of how the audience reacts. And then afterwards talking to them and seeing that light in their eyes, that it moved them, it changed them, it did something, it set something off, the wheels are turning. But on set with Joe and all these other actors, wonderful actors, Joey Burke, sorry, the guy who plays Tim, the homeless kid, and Angela, this was their first feature, and especially as a lead role. Everybody loved each other. By the second day, they were going out getting ice cream together after we had wrapped a 12, 14 hour day. They were walking down the street, all singing and dancing in the street. There was just such, this was the best cast and crew that I've ever worked with, I've ever had the pleasure of working with. Everybody loved each other. They couldn't stop talking about how they wanted to keep working together. They wanted to do the next one, you know, do the sequel.
It's such a serious, important topic that everybody kind of sheds their ego when you're talking about something like this, right?
And they all cared about this issue too.
Yeah. One thing that I noticed in the film is the younger men who got themselves wrapped up into this trafficking were conflicted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what was the point of that confliction?
Well, I wanted something that the director and I mean, he's the writer, Edgar Bravo, but he wanted a way to humanize it in such a way that you would see the conflict. If everybody was the same, you know, if even Rudolph, you know, the guy, Joseph Lopez, who plays the main villain, he's conflicted too. And so he wanted to create a world that is all about self-preservation, you know, because Joe is under the, Rudolph is under the gun at the beginning of the film because he's got a mess that he has to clean up. These guys are, you know, making mistakes and trying to get out of this situation. But it's not all guided necessarily by, you know, this evil intent. And it has more to do with how we see people, you know, in the reality of the world. When people get involved in bad situations, it's not like, oh, yeah, that's a bad situation, I'm going to go for it. Sometimes it's where life leads them and who they are. That's the other part of it too. So what we wanted to do when you were seeing these actors that, you know, you see them conflicted, we wanted to humanize it in such a way that the audience would read into that, and it would give them a sense that everybody is under the gun. Everyone here essentially is not here just for the evil act of it, but they're trying to, in some ways, survive. And that's also why we put, you know, the heroin addicted kid and who's homeless, as well as a girl who is involved with one of these men who's looking for her mother. And so you have this, I think it's always best to have a richness in your characters rather than to have them as a one-note character, because they all exhibit characteristics, whether we like them or not, as what their acts of what they're doing, they exhibit characteristics that we identify with. And I think those are the kind of the best films.
Well, let's get back to the whole model that you see in Hollywood and how that's reflected in a lot of different industries, because there's high-level people all over the country who, you know, lower level and higher level that are involved with this. You wouldn't have such a large black market if there wasn't powerful business people involved, period, and politicians. It doesn't, and the police, you know, the legal, the intelligence agent. It just wouldn't work because they take it down. And because it's not being taken down and it's flourishing, you know they're involved.
Right.
But you talked about there being a model for this. Mm-hmm. And then you also talked about I want to talk about the model a little bit. And then I also want to talk about that hit job thing and tie that back into what Lift the Veil and this actor that's coming out and naming names. But so talk about the model first.
Well, it's just very simple. This is the you have at the very top, there's the BIS, you know, the Basel III and the IMF and the, it basically branches down to the central banks, right, which control the flow of money. They control all the wars. They control all of the social programs that are being implemented through currency manipulation, devaluation of currencies, turning countries over, turning over democracies, turning over rightfully elected leaders. Everyone in that system is a planner. They are executing an order down from the top as to what direction they are going in the financial, the fiscal policy, the social policy, as well as the all of the structures, all of the democratic levers of power, which have been completely corrupted or destroyed. So the FBI, the DOJ, they are there. They exist. So let's just take the FBI and DOJ in this system, this structure. What they represent is a group of people who, from HSBC Bank's own scandal alone, James Comey sitting on that board comes over and becomes the director of the FBI.
It's ridiculous.
Right. All so that they can cover up the crimes that are going on from the people at the very top. And that means the human trafficking, the drug trafficking, the terrorist financing. I mean, it's just so unbelievable that a Justice Department, a Federal Bureau of Investigations, is actually weaponized and turned against the people that it is empowered to protect.
And people don't believe it. That's the problem. And that's why they're so easy to be manipulated.
Well, because we have these brands like Obama, like Clinton, like Bush. We have these brands that they sell us, these institutions that we are in.
The Justice Department.
Right. I mean, it's like any piece of legislation that you see that has like such a self-evident how can you oppose the Justice Department? How could you oppose the Patriot Act? How could you? So that's like the veneer. That's the front of it. But behind it, all of those things that we just described are duplicated elsewhere. HR departments in corporations. Are they there to protect you or the corporation?
Well, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And that's people should understand that it's the same concept.
Right. And then they did this also in the military, too, during the Vietnam War. This is how Colin Powell rose to power. He covered up the crimes of his superior officer who was taking grenades in baskets and tossing them over and blowing people up. And he witnessed that. And when they asked him about it, he denied it. And then, of course, they promoted him. I mean, this is how they do it. The criminals, they are criminals in costume. Acting as politicians, acting as business leaders,
acting as people who really care about you.
Right. And
you believe it.
And they have the brand and the marketing to be able to kind of deflect any kind of criticism because they are a protected class. Just like they do with identity politics, they do the same for themselves. It's a reflection of who they are.
Well, and do you think, you talked about there being a psyop, do you think they're purposely trying to take down the United States and just destroy us?
Yeah.
So that what do they think they're going to put in place, or do they want another country to have more power?
Well, I think it's just simply totalitarian dictatorship or rule. One world government, new world order, I mean, all that was thrown out so many years ago, but Bush, I mean, there's video evidence of him talking about it in his State of the Union address and other. What they did is they just handed it off to Clinton to execute the first stages of it. Bush did the next one, and it was going to be Clinton again to complete it, but they allowed Obama in because he was a better brand, because they had hit their first wave of desperation after the crash, and they needed a good face, a good brand, in order to keep all of the people down.
Which they did. It worked.
It worked for a short while until Occupy Wall Street came, and then they put that down. And then, of course, the 2016 election was the next wave of desperation, and then we had, obviously, a rigged election, and we got Trump. So it's...
And it was rigged. It was rigged heavily against Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's amazing he won. I think it was so heavily rigged against Trump, and he still won, that that's how much he won by, I think.
Yeah, the people overcame it. Based on all analysis that I've done on statistics alone, 10 million. You won by 10 million. Easy.
Well, and it's a silent majority, because people are still afraid to admit, because the minority of people who are still supportive of the left, whatever, it's not the left people. They still think the left is still this great thing, and it's not. And so they have this idea. And so there's this very loud, vocal minority who are controlling the discourse right now.
Yeah, but they're losing that. I mean, they would say losing control of the narrative is always put out there. But in reality, we are going through a major transformation right now. We're just in the early stages of it. But I'll just tell people this. If you look at it from a bigger standpoint, historically, Napster was the first. When I was in college, Napster was the first, you know, MP3, you know, download stream music. And the music industry spent accumulatively $3 billion to bring that one platform down in terms of total cost, what it cost the industry. Where are we today? We have Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio, a number of other platforms that stream music. We don't even buy DVDs or CDs anymore at all. It's all in the cloud.
It's completely changed, yes.
Completely changed. So these are disruptive technologies which are basically bringing down the inefficiencies of the middlemen and the systems that extract the most wealth out of them and make it a more like, in other words, it's like going from here to here and all endpoints are shortening. It's direct. This is how we're able to make an independent film today and talk with people like yourself and reach hundreds of thousands of people without going through the normal channels of the mainstream media and the Hollywood system to get our film reviewed.
Because you never would.
Oh,
this film would never get out there.
Segment about that, but the realities are that they don't want to touch any of these things that threaten to obstruct power or potentially shine a light on any of their criminal malfeasance. And in the case of our movie, there is nobody in the industry who's going to get involved and distribute our film that we can see right now. Maybe that'll come along at a later time. We're holding on to all the rights, and we're asking all the people that are interested in this film to go to Vimeo on demand. And if you're not able to, you know, stream it or download it, share the link, tell your friends about it. We need to get the word out to as many people. If you do buy it or rent it, get as many people around the computer or your home television and have them watch it. We need to wake as many people up about this issue, at least to build the consciousness in people that this is actually something that happens, and it's a starter for them. This is just the beginning, which is doing more research. Never stop learning. Keep going. And you'll find that once you get on the other side of this and start seeing all of what it is, it becomes apparent, and you actually become a hell of a lot, at least to me, I've become a hell of a lot happier knowing that this is all they have. This is as far as they can go. The people in power under the current structure, This is the best that they can offer us. This is as far as it goes for them. They can't give you anything else. They can't change anything. All of the people in this world have better ideas than anything that these people can imagine.
Yeah, these people need to come down, period, end of story. Anybody who's involved in it, they can't be our leaders, the worst of the worst that are leading us. You can't have
right.
that. That's why we have endless wars. That's why we have all. Anybody that gets involved in ritual child abuse, kills them, drinks their blood, will not be able to lead a group of people to anything, to prosperity, to anything. They will only lead you to war and desperate situations.
Yes.
That's all. Now, Lift the Veil has an actor that's come on. They've been naming names, you know, big names.
Mm-hmm.
How is he safe? Where's this $20 hit? Is he going to be safe, or is what's?
I think I've talked to a couple of people who have interviewed him outside of, you know, offline, and they've interviewed him on the show. And I think he was, I think he's very brave. I don't know him personally. This is Isaac Cappy, right?
Yes.
I think he was very naive. He's an artist, which, you know, I give him all the props in the world, but I don't think he realized what he was getting himself into. The issue right now for him, the good thing for him is he was the first one. Right. Because he
now his name is big.
Right. His name is out there. So if anything happens to him, it's going to immediately cause more attention to this issue. The only thing that I can say is there have been other people as a result of him coming out who have also shared their stories. And these are lesser known individuals. They are not coming out and making such They're not taking down big fish. They're not trying to lobby, you know, or allege accusations at such a high level without any direct evidence. These are personal testimonials that are coming out now that are talking about how a particular producer screwed over a writer, a female writer, and how he assaulted her and used her. There's also another actor who's coming back into the fray, which is the one of Victor Salva's victims, Nathan, I think, is his first name. And he's talking about how, you know, that whole episode went down when it was known back then, by the way, that Victor Salva, I mean, he was convicted, right? He was involved with a child, underage child, and Disney turned right around and hired him to do another movie. Powder, and then he got another film, Jeepers Creepers, which, by the way, if you see Jeepers Creepers, the first one, that is textbook pedophilia, like being boxed within a horror genre. I'm not saying that makes him automatically a bad person for doing that. I think actually that's for a disclosure movie, but it has all of the elements of it that show what pedophiles, how they think and behave and act. And that many of them, their targets are boys, not young girls.
Yeah, that's interesting. The boys are the now for international trafficking, it's both.
Right.
And depending on part of the world, because some of them like different. It's terrible. I mean, some of them depends on what their likes are. But it's either young boys or girls, young teenage boys or young mm-hmm. women. Once a man gets to be a man, they're a little safer, you know. But a young woman is at risk too.
Right. And the thing is that I guess what people are talking about is like, well, why wouldn't you just, I mean, why would you do this to an actor? Why would you do this to somebody in the industry? It's because they can control them. They have the financial and career mechanisms in order to ruin them. Whereas if it was somebody on the outside, that's a victim that they'll have to track forever and either kill or silence, which in many cases they do kill them, but they wouldn't, in other words, they wouldn't let that secret get outside.
It's easier to keep them in
yeah.
Hollywood, except the MK Ultra, that's a different story because they're trying to weaponize the person themselves.
Yeah,
you know, that's a whole nother can of worms.
That one I've just started diving into in the last couple of months, like really hard, and it's mind trauma. You know, you're basically destroying personalities and creating disassociative disorders in people and then, you know, triggering them to be these robots. whatever to under whatever nefarious
yeah, it's
acts
awful.
You want to do. Yeah, I mean,
it's a science. They've figured out a science and then how to use it for purposes of what they need it to be.
And I want to explain just one thing to the people that are listening to this. They go, this is kind of crazy now. We're kind of like going into this mind control thing. Look at it this way. Take all of the information that you have available to you in health and science about how we've mapped the brain, how we understand how children develop, all of that information that's available publicly, and put it in the hands of people who have contempt for life.
And are psychopaths.
Who are pedophiles and psychopaths who have been empowered by this system. Is it really outside of the realm of possibility that they would take that same information that you have available to you today and not use it through their own perverse methods?
Dr. Mengele types.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just also mind-boggling. We have to put an end to this. Will you stick around and do a little part for my patrons?
Absolutely, yes.
And then I'll have a link how they can get to this movie. It's you can get to it on Vimeo. You can get to it. Is there other places besides Vimeo that's airing?
We're about to go on Amazon in about a week or two for streaming and downloads, but we have a little bit of work to do there. So I would say within 1 to 2 weeks, but right now it's on Vimeo and it's available for rental as well as downloads.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. And thanks for putting your, you know, risking everything to do this as well. I think this is, and hopefully you'll get a lot of notoriety. This will really, and you can do more.
Yeah, I just hope that what we do is open up minds and hearts and for people to realize, more importantly than anything else, it's not about the movie. It's not about this movement. It is about all of us together. All of us together are a majority. And we have healthy, loving minds, and we need to nurture those for the next generation. So it's more than just, you know, these bad people over here and the horrific things that they're doing, because it's overwhelming. I'm more inspired today because I connect with people like you and thousands of other people on social media who love children and would never, ever conceive of such horror nor allow it to happen. And many of those people are parents, and they don't know this firsthand, but they believe in the good of humanity and that the good of humanity will overcome this horrific time. And the fact that we're even talking about it, the fact that millions of people are waking up to this reality, is a very healthy and good sign for the long term of our survival, both as a human species and what can be possible going forward. That's the message that I hope people understand and take away when they see the film. That is, it is the commitment to the child, the commitment to the child in you and to the ones outside, that we say, I will help you. And I promise that I will care for you and sacrifice for you. Because if we don't do that, everything else will continue as it is.
Well, in the animal world, the packs, they push out the animals that are like them. They're scorned. They're out of the pack. They're either killed or they're removed. They're not allowed to reproduce. They're not allowed to be part of it. And we need to do the same. That's how you preserve your being. That's how we preserve our, not race isn't the right word. That's how we preserve our species. Species is the right word.
Yes. Yep.
So, okay. Well, thank you so much.
Hey, Sarah, thank you for having me on, and I really appreciate your show and all the work that you're doing.
Thank you.